Welcome to another exciting installment, edition, episode, call it what you will, of Live Free Austin. LiveFreeAustinRadioShow.com is the website where you can check out all the podcasts from our latest shows. This is episode number 14. We got a bunch of great shows and great interviews under our belt. So check out LiveFreeAustinRadio.com where you can get the news, views, and tools you can use to live a more free and prosperous life. Again, Live Free Austin, we're declaring it Austin's number one libertarian radio show.
All right. That's right, we are. And, you know, we're probably the only libertarian radio show in Austin, but we are number one. And we are not going to surrender that position to anybody.
Never.
No, we will not.
And we will win the future.
That's right. And 2011 is the year of liberty. We have declared that. And Barack Obama declared that we will win the future.
That's right.
And I don't know what it means, how you go about winning the future. I'm not sure if it involves a DeLorean. And the flux capacitor.
That's right.
I don't know if it's going to require 1.21 gigawatts of dollars to win the future.
1.21 trillion, yep.
That's right. Who knows?
Quadrillion.
We really don't know. Only time will tell. But since 2011 is the year of liberty, we can be sure that our president and Congress, the Republicans and the Democrats, are going to lead us down that path of freedom, personal, individual liberty. They're going to honor our natural rights.
Yep.
They're going to shrink the size of government, shrink the size of the deficits, lower spending, do all of the things that allow us to live more freely in America. Do you think that's going to happen, John?
Oh, yeah. It's already happening. I already feel as free as I've felt in a really long time. And I know he's going to invest in the future and invest in our freedom and winning the future. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I imagine it's going to have something to do with spending a lot of money.
Well, and one thing that is in our future is light rail. High-speed light rail, because we the people have declared that if there's one thing we want in America, it's a light rail system to connect us so that we can go across anywhere we by light rail.
I already thought of the name for it. We could call it Panacea Light Rail, and it will solve all of our problems.
Yes. You know, so a light rail system, you know, what's funny about light rail, what's funny about rail in general, what's funny about government-run transportation in general is that it always loses money. I mean, recent reports show that, you know, government-run railroads are, you know, costing the taxpayer an average $30 per person.
For trip?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
And in some rail systems, it's as high as $400 per passenger. And it's funny because, you know, government railroad Amtrak loses money in every conceivable way. I mean, even on food and beverages. Mm-hmm. You know, so what you see is, the question is rail and light rail, is that a demand that's coming from the market? Is that what the people really want? Is more transportation that is taxpayer funded and subsidized
and efficient? I know here in Austin, they recently opened up the Capital Metro Red Line. Now, Capital Metro is one of the biggest boondoggles of public transportation in the whole country, probably. And that's probably because old Mike Martinez, one of our council members, Mayor Pro Tem, is in charge of it. Sorry to throw a little jab there at Mike. But they recently opened the Red Line in an already almost bankrupt Capital Metro. The executive director of Capital Metro just ducked out recently when they were in one of their biggest shortfalls possible. And this Red Line, it runs from East Austin downtown all the way up to Leander. And no, it's not because of a market demand. The reason why they popped this Red Line in goes back to something we've covered on previous shows, Agenda 21, whereby these city planning commissions and regional planning commissions, they go ahead and dictate where they'd like to see desired growth patterns take place. And a lot of times this light rail, this public transportation, it doesn't fit in necessarily where there's actual citizens that are needing to get to jobs or there's new growth happening in different places that's market driven. It fits into their pretty little paradigm and their picture and their plan for the future. And that's why you drive past the Red Line. I drive past it every time I leave my house. I go across it and I look inside the Red Line. And every single time there hasn't been more than five passengers. Literally. And the people that don't use that Red Line, we're paying for it too. But yeah, it's about the same thing as you said, about $25 to $30 per passenger. And that's if you're taking the Red Line or not. You're still paying for it.
Well, and we can't get into, you know, the detailed economics of this sort of thing. I mean, we had Robert Murphy on here a couple of months ago, an economist who wrote The Politically Incorrect Guide to Capitalism. And, you know, profit always gets this bad rap. But really, all profit is... And the fact that a railroad can't run profitably means that in the marketplace, people are choosing to pay money in other areas and that other corporations and companies are utilizing resources in ways that consumers want them to.
Mm-hmm.
So not to confuse, but it basically means that when Amtrak can't run profitably, it's because people are choosing to spend money in other areas that they'd rather patronize.
Mm-hmm.
And no amount of government stimulus can make people change their minds on that.
It'll force you.
That's right.
It'll only take enough.
I mean, they could. And the one comment that it really got under my skin is the joke that was made at the State of the Union about the TSA.
Jeez.
And it was like, hey, we're going to have light rail, and hey, then you can avoid the pat-downs. And they do a cutaway, and Nancy Pelosi's like, that's right.
Yeah.
Those pat-downs are so annoying to me.
Jeez.
Oh, wait. Oh, no, they're not, because Barack Obama and John Boehner and Nancy Pelosi and all these people, the royalty class of America, mm-hmm. they don't get groped. They don't get their junk felt. They don't get, you know, the pat downs. That's just for us, the peons,
second
in America.
Citizens.
That's right. The serfs. Remember that. It's for us. We're the real threat to America.
Mm-hmm.
And the royalty, they don't have to go through those procedures.
The ironic part about it is that, you know, he says we won't have these body scans on there, but we see the Department of Homeland Security all already running out these body scans and enhanced pat downs at trains, at stadiums, at the Mall of America. So, you know, he could get his cake and eat it too and have us using the public transportation and getting our junk patted down.
You know, I actually hope that they start doing pat downs outside my house by my garage.
Before you leave for the day.
Yeah, before I get into my car.
Sure.
Because I am quite dangerous to other people on the road. I mean,
I'm nervous right now.
I know,
just in your presence.
And, you know, so if we could just put a bureaucrat at my garage door, that would make me and America
give
safe.
Give a nice good paycheck, too.
That's right.
So this public transportation, I think there's two things that are driving it, because it's surely not the market and it's surely not the people and citizens, you know, begging their lawmakers for this terrible boondoggle public transportation. I think it's two things, one of which it's just your general typical leeches that run transportation companies, and they're coming in to eat, you know, pigs at the public trough, and they see that they can get simple money without actually having to work. It goes back to the productive class versus the parasitic class. That skews the market. And then again, back to this Agenda 21, which is international agreements pushing for these strong, strict environmental controls. Eventually, what they want to do is do away with the personal automobile. So they think that they'll be able to do this in a more congenial manner if they set up enough public transportation to where there's not a need for the automobile. And we're just going to see them continue to clamp us down as they boondoggle more of our public tax money away to these public transportation projects that don't even get any ridership. They're going to start making it more difficult for you to drive your vehicle, be it rising gas taxes, be it more carbon restrictions, be it more expensive laws and restrictions placed on the automakers, to where you got to buy a car now. It's going to be $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 more dollars, to where they're not going to make it where you have a choice at all.
Well, and I think you sort of touched on this, but it's interesting because on this transportation issue, you look and see when the stimulus money was awarded for this light rail. It's interesting because at the end of 2009, Jeffrey Immelt, the CEO of GE, was appointed to Barack Obama's Economic Advisory Board. And then right about 2 months after that, GE Transportation is awarded the contract for these light rail trains. So, coincidence?
I think not.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, boondoggle after boondoggle. How long are we going to take it, people? How long are we going to put up with the boondoggle? We can't put up with it if 2011 is going to be the year of liberty. So, this is Jason Rink and John Bush. This is Live Free Austin Radio. Stick around, because after the break, we're going to have Robert Butler with TexasReport.net. He's going to give us some updates on the Texas legislative session. And we've got Ernie Hancock from Arizona, a place called Freedom's Phoenix. He's doing some incredible work out there. We're going to have him on the phone, giving his insights on what's happening in the country, in the nation, and where we're going as a country all together. So stick with us. This is Live Free Austin.
Are you tired of big government treading on your liberty? Well, so are we. We're Brave New Books, the fiercest independent bookstore in Austin. Located a block south of UT Austin, Brave New Books not only carries the information you need to be ahead of the curve, but we also have water filters, storable food, and superfoods that help you put your health back into your own hands. Contact us at 480-2503, at bravenewbookstore.com, or stop by at 1904 Guadalupe Street.
Welcome back to the show, Live Free Austin. LiveFreeAustinRadio.com is the website. You'll definitely want to go in and check out our podcast. The last program was a wonderful show. We had Jack Blood on of Deadline Live. Oracle.info, the Deadline Live radio show every 3 to 5 p.m. on oraclebroadcasting.com. That was a wonderful show. Lots of great information about the push for global governance across the world. So you definitely want to check that out. Again, livefreeaustinradio.com. We have all of our previous 13 podcasts, which are really starting to pick up some steam. Again, we got a great show lined up for you today. We'll be joined by Ernie Hancock at the top of the next break. He's from freedomsphoenix.com to chat about liberty in the new millennium under the King Barry Sortoro. But right now we got some great news, some local news, and then we're going to be going to our weekly legislative update from TexasReport.net. It's going to be a new segment here on the program to go along with our Too Much Government News recurring little segment. Should be pretty good to keep you updated, and we're going to be encouraging you to come out to the State House as well to push back on the growing and intrusive state. But right now we got some local news here. The Austin City Council, I know you're a big fan of them, folks. The Austin City Council is reportedly in violation of the Texas Open Meetings Act. Now, the Open Meetings Act says that these legislative bodies cannot meet in secret whenever they have above a quorum. It's supposed to encourage open and transparent government. And of course, whenever they have a quorum, they can actually do official business. Well, this particular instance is a little bit different with the Austin City Council. This came out of a new investigative reporting website called the Austin Bulldog, austinbulldog.com. And it actually came from one of my good friends, Brian Rogers of changeaustin.org. Brian Rogers helped to fund and really lead the way on the pushback against against the domain subsidies, $65 million subsidies to a smart growth development mega mall. And he helped to fund the Proposition 2 campaign that would have prevented the city of Austin from giving subsidies to mixed-use developments that have a retail component, which is also Agenda 21, come to think of it.
It all comes back to that.
It all comes back to Agenda 21 and good old Michael Shaw at freedomadvocates.org. But regardless, Brian Rogers was considering a city council run, and he backed out, unfortunately. He would have been a wonderful candidate. But he sat down with Councilmember Chris Riley to discuss really what it was all about to run for council. He was kind of hesitant, not sure if he would like the daily grind of doing all that. He's got a business to run as well. So he sat down with Councilmember Chris Riley, one of the newest council members, to just chat about what it's like to be a council member. What does that entail? How do y'all communicate amongst each other? And he was floored to find that Chris Riley said, and this is almost a direct quote, that before the Thursday council meeting rolls around, we've already decided how we're going to vote, except for Bill Spellman. He's kind of the wild card. He then went on to say that they've been having private meetings in the week leading up to the council meeting with three council members at a time. Typically, it's the mayor pro tem, Mike Martinez, and one of the other council members. And so basically, the county attorney is now opening an investigation because not only does the law state you can't meet in private with a quorum, it also states that you can't purposefully try to subvert the law by having less than a quorum and to meet about official public business. And what's been happening now, Laura Morrison, which is our favorite council member here on the show, Texans for Accountable Government, tagtexas.org, we're a big fan of her too. She stuck up for us in the Fusion Center battle. She actually said that she stopped attending the meetings because the mayor was almost forcing her to sit down and meet with her and Mayor Pro Tem to kind of strong arm her, because she's always the one that's voting against the growth development and the big development machine, the growth machine that really runs our city politics here. She's backed out of those private meetings. But since then, it's been a big hubbub. And we're very grateful that this is having light shed upon it. We're going to see how that takes place. There's a council meeting this week, and we definitely want to keep you posted on that one. So you can check out the AustinBulldog.com. It's an independent website. It was actually picked up by the Statesman now, by the Community Impact newspaper, and all sorts of mainstream outlets. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's some chicanery going on with your Austin City Council. What a surprise. No wonder it's so difficult to impact public policy there. But we'll keep you updated on that one. So, Council, we're watching you.
That's right.
But now we're going to bring you a wonderful, exciting segment that we're going to have regularly recurring during the legislative session here to keep you updated on some of the bills that are important to your individual liberty and to your economic prosperity. So right now I'm going to turn it over to Robert Butler, and he's going to give you an update on what's going down at the state capitol.
This is Robert Butler reporting in Austin for TexasReport.net. TexasReport.net offers a unique perspective on politics from the state capitol, news you can use to build a free society. An Arizona-style immigration law has been proposed in Texas legislature by Representative Leo Berman of Tyler. Texans would be required to prove they're inside the country legally by carrying a state or federal ID card. This law places a burden upon the average Texan to prove that they are legal in order to avoid arrest or detention. This is an unprecedented flip of the innocent before proven guilty rule of law and must be stopped if Texans are to remain free and independent people. On the raw milk, there has been a new update from Texas Senator Bob Dole and Representative Dan Flynn from Canton. They've introduced legislation in the House and the Senate, respectively, to expand the sale of raw milk by special permit holders. Currently, you are allowed to buy raw milk at the dairy directly, but not allowed to buy it in farmers markets or other stores. This law would change that and allow sales directly to consumers. There's a concealed carry on campus bill that's been introduced by Texas Representative-elect David Simpson of Longview. This would require colleges, universities, and institutions of higher learning to allow concealed firearms on campus by license holders. An individual should not have to choose between personal right of self-protection and obtaining an education, said Representative Simpson. Local student groups like the Libertarian Longhorns and Students for Concealed Carry on Campus have advocated the rights for students to defend themselves from crime. Should we arrest Chuck E. Cheese or Shamu for gambling? That's the question being asked by Representative Dan Flynn, who's introduced legislation on the state legislature that would outlaw popular children's games that can be found in many family entertainment venues, including Chuck E. Cheese and SeaWorld. It would change the current definition of amusement devices to carry a felony charge of illegal gambling. Current Texas law allows for games of chance for purely entertainment purposes, and these family venues have often featured tokens or coupons that could be exchanged for inexpensive prizes. Flynn's bill would outlaw any game that is won wholly or partially by chance, even if the reward is just a toy.
Wow. Doesn't get more ridiculous. There's our too much government news right there.
I love it. Too much government news. Yeah. Throw Chuck E. Cheese in the clink, baby.
Throw him under the bus. He's a criminal terrorist. Charge him under the Patriot Act.
So I'm thinking maybe what we should do after these segments is we should go through and give our thumbs up or thumbs down to everything. But, you know, some things aren't all cut and dry, and we're just getting the updates. But let's go through these issues and see what's happening. And we've got Robert Butler here in studio with us. He is going to give us his commentary as well as we're going along on this. So let's talk about this Arizona-style immigration bill.
I don't like it, and I don't think, and I hope it will not pass here in Texas. I know we have the same illegal immigration problem that the other border states have, but I think Texas prides itself in the whole Tejano culture, which is a blending, a peaceful, it's gone on for centuries now, assimilation between Mexicanos and Texans, to where there's this whole culture, I think, that we assimilate and work better together than other states. So I sure as heck hope that we don't see this legislation come here to the state of Texas. And I know it's going to be one that divides a lot of the liberty movement, because there's a lot of them that are still, you know, thinking that borders are the latest wave.
They took our jobs.
What do you think?
Well, you know, one thing I'd like to add to this is that a lot of people are saying, crack down on illegal aliens. But this bill cracks down on Texans. It requires you as a Texan to prove that you're in the country legally. Mm-hmm. If you're not, you know, you forget your ID at home. Maybe you're not driving a car. You could go to jail if you can't prove that you're an American.
Mm-hmm.
We've never had that kind of philosophy of, you know, show me your papers, please, inside the United States.
Let alone Texas. It's very un-Texas.
And it is not a foundation for a free society, people.
Oh, no.
And so, yeah, I would agree. And again, it is going to divide the liberty movement. It's going to put a lot of people on different sides. And I think a lot of that has to do with not really understanding all of the underlying issues as well. I mean, the economic issues that are surround the immigration, you know.
Well, that's an important comment, Jason, because one of the things that this new law would do is place increased penalties and a burden on employers to keep track of the immigration status of their employees. And there are many software makers and others here in the Austin area, for example, who say that this law will push more jobs to India, China, and Mexico if employers cannot legally and reliably employ immigrants here in this country. And we have to remember that we are not educating enough people in the science and math to take these high-tech software jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't bring employees here, we'll have to send the jobs there.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think on this issue, we're going to see who the real libertarians are.
That's
when it
right.
comes down to it.
Well, the next issue is raw milk. This is one of my favorites. And, I'm looking for the got raw milk advertisements to
that'd
go
be
out
great.
There, you know, with some milk mustaches on some very liberty-minded people out there. So come on, someone do it. But raw milk, we should be able to buy it. We should be able to consume it.
We should be able to sell it wherever the heck we want.
You know, the government isn't supposed to be protecting me from consuming something I shouldn't be consuming. And that goes across the board. Raw milk, for crying out loud. This was consumed for hundreds, thousands of years. There's a lot of evidence to show that Raw milk has many health benefits. It doesn't have a lot of the harmful effects that pasteurized and homogenized milk have been shown to have. And again, this is not a, we don't have the time to get into this issue, but the bottom line is liberty. I should be able to buy raw milk. So this is a good thing in that it'll be more accessible. But again, it still is kind of a permit-based, asking permission government scenario. Yeah. We just need to be able to transact in raw milk.
It's bittersweet. I don't know how I would vote on this one if I was in the state capitol. I'd probably vote for it because at least it's a step in the right direction. But right now it's illegal. Someone can go to your farm and buy raw milk from you there, but you can't take that milk to a farmer's market or take it to your friend's little get together and sell it to all the patrons.
And that's what this bill would allow.
It would allow you to do that, but you have to ask permission first. So I would encourage people. If you are a raw milk distributor or if you have raw milk, I would encourage you to just go out there and sell it to your friends away from your place. If you get in trouble, I think it'll be a wonderful issue to build a movement around. I know John Bush, Texans for Accountable Government, will get out there and support you. So I think this is going to be interesting testimony. I already have an idea that I thought of today in the shower for the committee. I'd like to get some raw milk from someone and sell it to somebody during the committee hearing to demonstrate to the representatives that, hey, you don't need to ask permission to sell raw milk. Exactly. I just did without asking permission. What's going on here? Plus, it'll create more bureaucracy, right? They're going to have a whole permitting process and all sorts of
things. Well, and I know we got two other issues we want to cover, but I just wanted to say, in Ohio, I know of a raw milk ring, an underground black market ring of soccer moms that have this whole system set up to be able to purchase and consume raw milk so that they don't get into trouble.
Sounds like Jihad Jane.
People have been raided by the feds in Ohio, so it's really kind of ridiculous.
And this is really a law that is out of date. In the Industrial Revolution is when we started pasteurizing and homogenizing milk because of the really poor conditions that the farms were in. But these farms are high tech. They're very clean. They're very new. And it's a healthy way to drink milk.
What's the next issue that we covered? The concealed carry. I think this is a pretty simple one. You should be able to carry a firearm wherever, especially on campus. That's one of the reasons why so many of these big massacres happen, like in Virginia Tech. It's because it's a gun-free zone, and these crazy folks and these criminals are aware of it. I think this one's a no-brainer for libertarians.
As John Lott would say, more guns, less crime.
We need to have him on the show, by the way. John Lott would be a wonderful guest. And the final bill was
Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese, the gambling. We're having a budget shortfall. I mean, we might as well legalize it all across the board, but this one's going the opposite direction.
But man, I can't go buy a Chuck E. Cheese without going in and the one-armed bandit taking all of my money. I need
my fix.
So, I am addicted to the games of chance at Chuck E. Cheese. I can't get enough of those tickets. If I get about 8,000 of them, I'll be able to get like a thimble.
You're dragging your kiddo there every day.
Yeah.
Dad, I don't want to go to Chuck E. Cheese.
Come on, kid. I need some tokens and some tickets.
You can play in the balls.
And I think this is a real, distinction without a difference, trying to differentiate between games of chance and games of skill. I don't think that trying to whack-a-mole is necessarily a game of skill for a two-year-old. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much chance is whether he's going to hit it or not.
Right, yep.
And the whole idea that you're going to take away his $5 toy because it's not a game of skill, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yep.
Well, that's all we've got for this this segment. We're coming up on a break. Thanks, Robert, for joining us with this, and we look forward to having your report next week. Please check out TexasReport.net in the meantime, but stick around. We've got Ernie Hancock coming on with us. He is going to be telling us what the real deal is on liberty. He's been in the fight for a long time, so we want to find out what his thoughts are on what's happening in America. This is Live Free Austin Radio every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. on 98.9.
Welcome back to Live Free Austin, livefreeaustinradio.com. And we do have some exciting news for the listeners there. We just recently got picked up on the Liberty Radio Network. That's LRN.FM. It's a Liberty Radio Network that broadcasts out of New Hampshire. It's all across the country. They even have some micro pirate radio going and also broadcasting over the FM and AM waves. The Free Talk Live guys are on that program, as well as Ernest Hancock's Declare Your Independence radio show, a wonderful program, and we are proud to have Ernie Hancock on the show today. How are you today, Ernest?
I'm doing a lot better. I've been really sick, and we've been consolidating our Freedom Phoenix workshop into a new location and getting moving and doing. It's just been, very interesting last couple of weeks, but we're ready to do some time with you and share some freedom.
Great, great, great. Now, Ernie, you have a unique perspective on the quote-unquote liberty movement. I know you've been involved for over a decade now, well over a decade. So maybe you could start by telling us how you got involved in this push for greater individual liberty.
Well, it started with my father's company. In the late 80s, he manufactured a trailer, a camping trailer for touring motorcycles, and it was very popular. And the trade barriers in Europe was coming down, you know, where you didn't have to have a passport to go from like France to Spain and so on. And they wanted to be able to offer a high quality unit to where you could take a big Goldwing motorcycle and tour Europe, and none of them were high quality enough for my father's. These were, you know, little trailers that cost like $3,500 back in the late 80s. So these were top of the line things. Well, I'm going, Dad, man, you know, they're screaming on TV news every day, we got to export and save America. So what we did is, as a young man, I just had my fourth child, and, you know, have a young family and wanted to make sure that, you know, the future of my kids is secure and all that kind of stuff. And I had my own business, but I didn't want to get involved in business with my dad because he's my dad, but I wanted to help. So I went to start doing research. And I came across a law that they had just done in 1988 at the end of the Reagan administration, and it was called the Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act of 1988. And I never heard the word New World Order or any of that stuff, or even the word libertarian or anything. And I just believed whatever they told us in junior high about how America worked, you know? And I read this law, and it was very crystal clear to me what was happening. America had taken... Going into the Daddy Bush administration with Steve Mossbacher as Secretary of Commerce at the time, and they turned America into a fascist state. It was all business, all transactions, everything went through a funnel, and it was clear to me that government was nothing more than a gang with a flag. And I go, oh, I see what's going on here. And it was very simple how. It was because they could. They always go, well, they can't do this, and why would they? They're not supposed to. And I'm going, hell, the hell they can't. I mean, you know, they just pass a law. So
Ernie, the phrase Reagan Revolution means something different to you than a lot of these Republicans out there, because you see this happening, right?
This is, you know, I could see. I tell you what really kind of surprised me as time went on. Of course, you had the Reagan Revolution. And then you have the Republican Revolution in 94 when they had the contract on America and all that stuff. And then you get to where you had, I was real supportive of the real concept of revolution behind a loveolution behind Dr. Paul's campaign. Right. And it was amazing to me how a lot of the freedom-oriented individuals were afraid of the word revolution, even loveolution. And I'm going, you know, it's okay when Newt Gingrich or Reagan says it, and when you have someone like Ron Paul, are you guys stupid, you know? So it was just, from a lot of the young people in the movement now, I identify with them so much, even though, you know, in just a couple of months, I'll be 50 years old. I was born in 61. I graduated high school in 79. I was, you know, during the time of the Cold War and nuclear threat and Afghanistan invasion and Red Dawn and all this other stuff, and the gas prices and OPEC and, you know, Iran hostage crime. I mean, all this Afghanistan, same thing, same people, same names, same people. It's just, you know, so I identify with the youth now because I went through the same thing with the same people and the same ideology and the same rhetoric.
Yep.
And it's all the same. They use the fear to get you to do whatever the heck it is they want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, as time went on, it became clear to me that how did they get away with this? And it was election law. They eliminated opposition before it started. So I focused on election law in the early 90s, and I challenged 44 election laws in Arizona all the way to the Ninth Circuit. I went to San Francisco. I did my own oral arguments. I'm not an attorney. I had oral arguments for the Ninth Circuit, and I did my spiel, and it went on for 2.5 years and got all kinds of Ernie laws changed and everything. But the bottom line was, is I could see what was happening. They were eliminating the people from the equation. Regardless of whether you think it's a republic, democracy, constitution, all that doesn't matter. What matters is that whatever voice the people did have, they used the system to make sure it wasn't heard.
Yep.
And I go, okay. So the only way that we really had any kind of voice was in dissent and civil disobedience and having a big voice and putting bypassing the lamestream media, the media that's so last century.
Yep.
You have to bypass them.
And
you
guys,
that's what I do.
You guys seem to be doing that with Freedom's Phoenix. You're the editor of freedomsphoenix.com, and I know you guys had a workshop out there. Maybe you can give us some of the ways that you guys did bypass this lamestream media.
Well, you know, it's direct communication. You know, you have a concept, and then how do you express that? You know, pick an issue. We got so many. Right now, our big project we're working on is wallet voting. Walletvoting.com. I've had that domain name for 7 years waiting for the opportunity, and boom, here it came. What we've been doing, if you just go to walletvoting.com, you'll see it's a special edition on Freedom's Phoenix where we're pushing the use of old silver coins that are 90% silver, U.S. Mint and coins, in transactions. And we're going to all the gun shows, and we get discounts and make money. We're educating people, and it's, you know, I can go on and on and on about this. Just go to walletvoting.com. But we're having a lot of fun educating people on what really is going on, because there's no fixing it. You know, the delusion that a lot of people have, and that was the argument when we first started the Ron Paul Revolution. Dr. Paul had spoken. Every year we have an event called the Freedom Summit. We've been doing since 2001, and he's spoken at three of them. So we already knew what his rhetoric was, and we wanted to make sure that his message got out there and understood by everyone, but we weren't under any illusion that they were going to allow him to win. So what we did is a lot of the people that were supportive of it financially and a lot of work, they were asking to go, are we going to give the next generation the illusion that politics is going to be able to fix these problems?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, I don't think so. They're going to learn the same thing that I did at a young age, is that politics is a distraction. And once they get real close up to this thing, they're going to see just how rigged the whole system is, and they can start going for more fundamental changes.
Yeah.
So I see Ron Paul, if he were to run again in 2012, it's just another speaking tour. You know, I don't care. You know, it's just how many more minds can you free?
Yeah.
And what's happened is we have made such an impact on making sure that people understand how clear it is who the good guys and the bad guys are. It's real simple. There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave you alone. and the people that won't leave you alone, bad guys.
Yep. Yeah, it's a great relief to hear the understanding and comprehension you have over how politics is just, you know, tomfoolery. And I remember there's some controversy I got into asking Dr. Paul about his endorsement of the neocon Lamar Smith. And I did an interview on your show, and it was such a relief for you to say, I heard Ron Paul was going to be running in 2008. And the first thing that popped into my mind is, how can I use this campaign to spread the liberty message? So we definitely appreciate what you're doing on that. And let's chat a little bit on the other side of the break about more about how you do think politics isn't the answer and some of the solutions that you guys are going to be delving into up in Freedom's Phoenix. I know you guys are kind of shifting gears over there. So this is a Live Free Austin radio show. You can check out livefreeaustinradio.com to check out all our previous interviews every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. on 98.9 The Big Talker. Also, we're cycling in the podcasts on lrn.fm, which is also where you can check out Ernest Hancock's show, Declare Your Independence, from 3 to 5 p.m. So definitely check that out, folks. We'll be right back on the other side of this break with Ernie Hancock.
Attention, Big Talker listeners. Want to get the real information on the agenda behind the Obama administration's policies? Brave New Books, Austin's own fiercely independent bookstore, has the resources you need to understand the Federal Reserve, international banking, and the forces behind President Obama. Brave New Books is located a block south of UT at 1904 Guadalupe Street. Contact us at 480-2503 or at bravenewbookstore.com.
Well, Welcome back. LiveFreeAustinRadio.com is the website. Live Free Austin every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. on 98.9 The Big Talker here in Austin, and also LRN.FM. We're now cycling through the podcasts and an Ernest Hancock Show, Declare Independence. That's 3 to 5 p.m. Mountain Time, and you can check that also on LRN.FM. So Jason and I are going to be visiting you in Arizona. We want to come check out what you guys got going with Freedom's Phoenix. And I informed you that we're going to be going up there for a nullification rally because we believe in the 10th Amendment. We want a decentralized government. And you responded kind of like, nullification? You guys are wasting your time. We're beyond politics. Why don't you tell us a little bit of some of your justification for that, why you think politics is really a fool's game, and some of the solutions that you offer as an alternative to the political?
You know, it was kind of surprising that you'd be involved with, you know, such a thing. So I'm like, oh man, you going down the dark side now? You know, the what I did is encourage them to put banner ads on Freedom's Phoenix. You'll see that we're promoting the event a great deal on Freedom's Phoenix. Anybody that's doing anything, I encourage that. Heck, I gave them a free ad. I don't care. You know, the thing is that I know Thomas Woods is behind it a lot. Charles Goyette's going to be speaking there and such. And what happens is when you take a really anarchist, radical, extreme position and are able to articulate it as well as we do here at Freedom's Phoenix, it makes the other guys look more moderate. Where they would say that Thomas Woods and Goyette are being very extreme, you know, they go, oh, we're not extreme. Go look at Ernie, man. There's your extreme over there. And so the point that I'm trying to make is when you have the states that are supposed to be sovereign, the United States of America, these sovereign entities, that somehow they have to claim superiority over this national collective, or they have to assert themselves, or they got to defeat them, or they got to have some kind of determination by judges that are federal judges, by the way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to do all this kind of, I mean, just the fact that you're even begging the recognition of your superiority, you're already subservient to them before you even get the question out of your mouth. So I just am past that. They can do whatever they want. I'm not dealing on that field. I'm not going to their court system. I'm not going and appealing to their politicians. I'm not asking their permission anymore.
Yeah. And you make a great point there, and you know how it's kind of like, hey, you're going to enter into the arena where they write all the rules and try to get them to overturn their rules, which isn't likely.
So what we do is we just go straight to the people and deal with an entirely new generation and just go, look, what is the proper role of government? What's the promise that they, we have a t-shirt that's one of my favorites, and the main words on it says, government doesn't work, I want my money back. But what it has is a graph on it, and it starts at the beginning of the Constitution, you know, 1780, whatever, and it goes, you know, a 45 degree angle up that to the right, and it says government promises. And as time goes on, you have these greater and greater promises. Then you have individual liberty, and it's kind of a dotted line that kind of follows the line, and then it drops down when the Civil War, and it drops down more when they created income tax and the Federal Reserve, and it drops down more when you get into different wars, and it drops off the chart after 9/11, 2001. So I'm just going, you have the government promise, and then you have the reality, and sooner or later, the gap gets so large, that's when you have revolutions. Mm. When you have the promise of government and the reality of what the people are living under gets so wide that they're not even connected. There's not even a thread of connection between the two, to where government is just simply ignored. They're not relevant. They're just a threat. They're just an entity that's violating your rights and not protecting them. When we get to that understanding, which we are pretty damn close, if not already there, then you can have some real change. So that's what I'm planning for. I'm just planning for how many minds can we free to the reality of what's going on. Hmm. Nothing else matters to me. Well, all the other stuff is just an example.
Yeah, and I think in the same way that the Ron Paul campaign, which we were just talking about this, me and John, the other day, about, you know, Ron Paul brought all these people together behind this political movement, and then after the campaign, some people would say, oh, it's a failure or whatever, but really, the seeds of liberty were scattered across this country and are starting to sprout up now.
Yeah.
And so things like Nullify Now and other types of politically oriented, you know, opportunities, they create an opportunity to educate people more on liberty. But as far as a viable solution to restoring our freedoms, it's questionable whether or not these solutions really work. And the idea is we need to keep leading people down this path where they understand that the power is within the individual to live free.
Yeah, I think...
What you'll see is that any of these groups and these organizations that you go to, the average age from the height of the revolution around Dr. Paul's campaign in 07 and early 08, you know, what you'll see is it's gotten from an average age in the 20s to shot up into the 50s, the 60s, and 70s. I mean, it's just all of a sudden you got the same old blue hair Republicans that are once more into the breach and we're going to, you know, fix it one more time. Mm-hmm. And the youth have just been, you know, I so get it. You know, they're done. They're off building a whole nother society on the internet. They're already having discussions about what's the future going to be like, mm-hmm. thinking 20, 30 years into the future, and it has nothing to do with any of the current structure, and the current structure now doesn't get it. There's no economic structure that's going to survive. You're going to have all the promises and the pensions and the entitlements and everything are not going to survive. You're not going to have the survival of a lot of municipalities or even the states. You're not going to have the survival of the banks, certainly as they're constituted now. You're not going to have the elimination of real durable goods and precious metals and so on that will represent how people begin to trade and already are. The future is so different from what they're trying to convince us it's going to be, and the institutions that are in place now will not serve it, and they're not going to be ready. Mm-hmm. So the next generation are the ones that are going to be able not only to create their own future, but be able to anticipate it and prepare for it. Mm-hmm. And the older generations don't understand it, and they're going to be left behind. What I'm trying to do is to make sure that they understand it's not a threat to them, it's their salvation. Mm-hmm. Because if they don't embrace what's coming, they're going to be victims of everything that's been perpetrated against them by people with shiny badges and elected offices.
Yeah, that's
and there's
pretty
nothing
good.
They can do about it.
Yeah, I for one am for a two-part approach. One, pushing back on those most intrusive institutions of the state that prevent us from living freely. But I don't think that can be the solution alone. I think more importantly, we need to get out there and actually start building the free society that we all talk about. And two important components of that are, of course, competing currencies based on sound money principles and also self-sufficiency when it comes to the food supply. Now, when we chatted the other day, you guys said that you guys are kind of shifting gears and y'all are going to start growing some food out there. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Well, two things. One, just go to walletvoting.com. You'll see that we're already advocating for a whole other system that's already in place. And then we have, I have my home in Central Phoenix, and we have the workshop. And what we've done, and we just moved my home to a 2-acre farm up in North Phoenix area.
Yeah.
And we're in the process of moving the workshop up to an outlying houses and barns that we have on the property here. So we're consolidating it here. And over the next year, we're getting everything mobile. We're moving the studios and everything into mobile trailers and sea containers and getting mobile. We're calling it Nebu, as in Nebuchadnezzar jacking into the Matrix. And then we have the property here is irrigated, and we're doing all kinds of different farming and planting the different crops. We're getting goats. We already got the chickens installed back here. We're getting on it, and we're going to be videotaping and documenting what we're learning here so that we, as the next year goes by, there'll be January 2012, we will be ready to move somewhere else, anywhere on the planet. That is our goal, is to be mobile, to relocate our family, to be somewhere where we can just survive what's coming. And in the process, we're going to be learning a lot about food storage, and we've been doing this for the past couple of years already. You know, my wife, when she wrote the article about our first chicken egg we got from raising the chickens, was one of the most popular articles on Freedom's Phoenix. And it was, you know, a lot of people have been inspired by that. and have been getting their chickens. Chickens are easy, man. I had no idea they were that easy.
Mm-hmm. Well,
if I'd known that, I'd done that a long time ago.
Some people might be surprised to hear there's farms in Phoenix, you know? I mean, that's really awesome, and we really want to promote this because I'm the executive director of an organization called the Foundation for a Free Society, and what we want to encourage is exactly what you're talking about, which is to live free and give people the tools to make free choices and to live freedom, not just talk about it, not just learn about it,
not just beg for it.
Right. But to be empowered to actually make decisions in your own life. And it's great to see you doing that and then documenting that. We definitely want to promote that information.
Bring your video camera when you come, man.
Oh, yeah.
Bring your video camera. We'll give you the tour, show you what's what.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And we love what you've done for Liberty. You bring a great perspective, a lot of wisdom. This isn't your first rodeo. And that's what's great about listening to what you had to say, Ernest. So we really appreciate you coming on today. Just go ahead and rattle off those websites again that people can check out the work you're doing.
Well, the main thing, if you go to our newest one, is walletvoting.com. And freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. And you'll get everything that we're doing. And it's just a tapestry of individuals that aren't necessarily all libertarian. I mean, we give views. I got, you know, neocon right guys and communist Hugo Chavez is my hero left that are allowed to, you know, post their stuff on Freedom's Phoenix so that then we can make fun of them, you know. But the thing is it gives, you know, a wide radar screen. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't watch open. Now, we had Barry Hess, the libertarian candidate for governor here in Arizona, lives near me now, and he and his wife were over last night. And we hadn't had our TV hooked up yet. It's being hooked up today. And we go, you know, the State of the Union is, yeah, we just couldn't muster up enough give a crap to go watch it. So we just didn't care. Well, I have later in the week Brad Friedman from bradblog.com on the show. He's a guest I have on a regular basis. And he's, you know, big progressive, and he fills in for Mike Malloy, a progressive radio talk show host and everything. So I'm going to say, look, I didn't watch it. You're free to give me your interpretation of what Obama had to say. Give it uninterrupted. Go, man. But you know I'm going to go later, and I'm going to read the speech, and I'm going to compare it to what you said, and then I'm going to talk about it. Is it really what you said he said? Because I can't stand watching those things. It's just like somebody standing there looking at you and lying to your face, and I can't handle it. So I just ignore it. It doesn't matter. I just don't care.
Right on. I hear you. Okay, one last question before we let you go, and if you could answer in one sentence or less. Ernie Hancock, what is the State of the Union?
there's a union? Whose union? Am I forced to be in the union? You know, I just, the state of the union just assumes that there's a union. I'm going, that may be yours, not mine, man.
I think you already made the statement earlier. It's government doesn't work. I want my money back.
amen, brother. That's my vote.
Right on. All right, Ernie. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, folks, check out freedomsphoenix.com, also walletvoting.com. And again, you have another wonderful, exciting interview brought to you by Live Free Austin Radio. We will have the podcast up on livefreeaustinradio.com if you want to listen to it again or send it out to your friends. And of course, this is Jason Rink, John Bush, every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. coming at you on 98.9 FM and also our new affiliate, LRN.FM. LRN.FM, you'll be able to check out Declare Your Independence with Ernie Hancock, 3 to 5 p.m. Mountain Time, and also the other wonderful programming they have there. So again, this is Jason Rink, John Bush, as always, asking you to live free, Austin.